This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
I look forward to the year ahead in HPC. Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for 2010, January 8th, available every Friday on iTunes. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and we have with us Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360. Good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael.
Well, here we are, beginning of a new decade. Does it feel like a new decade to you?
It's a whole new decade of optimism, Michael. Everyone's ready to turn the page and get going on a new year and a new plan.
Yeah, it seems like this should be like this big turning point. It's the beginning of a big 10-year cycle. But I don't know, to me it just seems like the end of 2009 just continued on. In fact, we saw that this week. We saw another company acquisition. We saw TotalView Technologies being acquired by a company, Rogueway Software. So it just looks like the end of 2009 got carried over. So what did you think about that acquisition that came about this week?
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb, though, Michael, and say that I think this acquisition is a little different from a lot of the closures that we saw at the end of 2009, including Ferrari, which, you know, we'll go ahead and throw that one into the end of 2009. But right. 2010, looking ahead, this one to me is about growth strategies, because you've got Rogueway, who's been clearly looking to build more complete solutions for end-to-end and software development, and specifically for HPC. They acquired Visual Numerics earlier in April 2009, and now with TotalView. And everyone at TotalView seems to be that this is a good thing for them. I spoke briefly to Rich Collier, the CEO at TotalView, and he can't share any of the details just yet, but sounded extremely optimistic about the acquisition.
Right. The little contact I've had with TotalView since this was announced or pre-announced is that they are very excited about this. But I'm sort of wondering what happened to sort of precipitate this. The company had been a 25-year company previously. It was called Aetnis, and then more recently they changed the name to TotalView Technologies. But it was 2.5 decades as an independent company, and all of a sudden now they're acquired. So it makes you wonder what happened, what occurred to make them be acquired. But yeah, from what I understand, they are excited to be a part of this new company, and it'll be interesting to see what Rogueway has in mind for them under their new management.
You know, acquisitions happen even in healthy economies, too. So I don't think this is necessarily precipitated by any bad news on TotalView's side. I suppose there's a chance that they were short on cash or something like that and, you know, needed some kind of infusion. But I'm not really seeing it that way. TotalView had been looking pretty good. They had new products in 2009 with Replay Engine. People really liked the technology. They were pretty well recognized leaders in that part of the market in North America anyway. They had some European competitors who were interesting. And Rogueway maybe just puts more wood behind that arrow in terms of, you know, what TotalView's biggest challenge was is they're such a small part of an overall solution that, you know, it's kind of an afterthought. They had trouble gaining mind share with people. You need to go be seeking out a debugger solution. Now they get into more of a complete end-to-end and software environment might be helpful for them.
Right, right. I take your point there. I mean, it was a little unusual to have like a company that basically was just focused on debugging and debugging related tools. So maybe there wasn't enough sort of a big enough scope to attract, you know, maybe the kind of economy of scale they wanted. So, but I would have expected a company maybe to be grabbed more like a compiler focused company. Although Rogueway is a provider of C++ software components for developers. So maybe that is a nice fit, and we'll learn more about that certainly in the future. But yeah, I mean, certainly being a debugger only company probably makes them a little fragile as far as getting their software out there in the market. So maybe this will be a good thing for the company and get more sort of oomph behind that development set.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I haven't spoken to anyone at Rogue Wave specifically about this yet. Part of it kind of reminds me of when Rackable was buying SGI. Rogue Wave was primarily an enterprise company, and they didn't pre-brief any of the HPC press or analysts about the acquisition. So we're kind of catching up with Rogue Wave on the other end to try to ask them about it. But it does seem to me that they're trying to expand to cover the more complete middleware and tools layer, including for HPC solutions now, and TotalView in that case makes her an excellent acquisition. This is a very dynamic part of the market right now, and one that we're actually embarking to study significantly right now. It's kind of an interestingly timed acquisition. We've got a new study that we're launching next week to comprehensively look at HPC users' software environments, but particularly that operating system middleware and tools layer, and get a good understanding of users' requirements there. So it's an interesting acquisition. I think it's good news for TotalView. I think it's a good acquisition for Rogue Wave.
I think I agree with you there. And I think that, like you said, the tools area, I think, is a big growth area for HPC. Unlike the server space, we saw, of course, you know, sort of more bad news surface with Verari this week. They were looking to restructure at the end of 2009, and as you just briefly mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, they seem to be in a little more trouble now. It looks like they're basically selling off the assets. They've basically run out of options, and the creditors are looking to sort of recoup whatever money they can. And
right.
They put some text up on the splash page of the homepage saying that basically they were looking to take bids for the assets. So it looks like, for all intents and purposes, Verari is through unless somebody does a last-minute rescue and revives that.
Right. And this one, I'm going to go ahead and call this a 2009 story, right? It's 2010.
Right.
We've turned the corner. We're going forward in 2010. So that happened the end of 2009. That one reminds me a lot more of what happened with Cycortex.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just they're out of money, and they're trying now to sell off what assets they can in a way that'll protect their users. To me, it was a bigger deal with Cycortex and for HPC than it was with Verizon. Verari has not been a significant HPC player in many years. They were kind of in it early at the dawn of the Linux cluster revolution, back when they were RackSaver, and a lot of people were buying these Linux clusters from Verari and Rackable and Linux Networks. But after the bigger guys all came in with theirs, RackSaver rebranded as Verari to get separation from Rackable and went after that enterprise space, and they haven't been in HPC as much, but it seems like we're closing the final chapter on that.
Well, yeah, and although I wrote a little bit this week, I wouldn't be surprised to see more sort of server company consolidation this year, even if the economy bottoms out or even recovers slightly, just simply because of what you were talking about. There was a lot of sort of overbuilding in the server company space, and I think there's still probably slightly too many server companies out there to serve the market, and depending upon how vigorous the economy is over the next year and beyond that, I think we could easily see more companies going out of business or being acquired or some other thing. Even this year.
Well, and then again, that gets us back to the Oracle Sun deal and whether Oracle's going to stay in the server business there with Sun. Oracle does have regulatory approval from the EU now, which is kind of on the revised schedule that we'd been forecasting. So we should be getting answers to some of those questions in the near term in terms of where Oracle's actually going to go after all these months of conjecture.
Let's broaden the conversation a little bit. You've been looking at, obviously, you've been looking at the market in the broader sense and where the economy sits and how 2010 is going to look for HPC vendors. What are you seeing?
Well, first of all, we got to do a level set on where we are in 2009. I do think there's cause for optimism in the years ahead, in 2010 and in the years ahead. Now, we haven't completely closed the books on 2009 yet, nor have the hardware our vendors closed the books on 2009 yet, but our initial estimate that the market would be off by about 9 or 10% 2009 over 2008, I don't see any reason to think that that's drastically wrong. I think that's probably pretty close. And once again, the dominant thing that happened there to make that happen is that people really slowed down how quickly they were buying HPC systems. There's some real loss of users that consolidated or sales that got canceled, especially in the academic markets with the loss of endowments. But most of that is sales cycle shortening. Now, we'd been forecasting all along that 2010 would be the start of a recovery, and we'd get some slow growth of 2010 off of 2009, with the growth really accelerating in 2011 and the out years. I've been speaking recently with Chris Willard, my partner, the chief research officer, and we're looking at actually moving forward that inflection point from 2011 into 2010, and whether it makes sense to shift that growth forward into 2010 based on what we're seeing in the economy currently, bearing in mind that the short-term blips in the market come more from how quickly people buy systems as opposed to how much they're buying. How much they're buying will affect that long-term growth rate out to 2013, 2014, but how quickly they buy it has to do with where that inflection point is in the market, and we might move that in.
So how are you seeing the different market segments? Are you seeing differentiation on how they're reacting in this economy?
Well, yeah, government continues to be good, and academic is coming on stronger now as more of the stimulus money starts to kick on through. Commercial, the budgets have been there all along. It's just a question of how quickly they can spend them. And people, I think, are too quick to write off areas like automotive and saying, well, U.S. automotive's been having so much trouble. From what I've seen, they're actually trying to increase their R&D spending because the big pressure is to look at how can we get our features from that were planned for 2011 into 2010? How can we get whole new lines of cars out there? And you're seeing really concerted efforts from General Motors, from Ford, to reestablish themselves in terms of having forward-looking car lines. And there's been big investment there. So across all of those different sectors, I think there's reason for optimism. I think the endowment part of the academic market might be the slowest to come back. Where you really see the differentiation is when you start looking at what product classes or product types are going to be coming on in growth. And it's really the servers themselves that have kind of the toughest time in terms of what percent of the overall market they're capturing. And the higher growth areas that you get are going to be in things like storage, and especially services, if you look at the potential for things like utility computing or cloud computing to take revenue as services revenue through HPC outsourcing. So storage is really the hottest growth area because of the data explosion, and services is right up there also.
Yeah, that's not too surprising. I mean, I guess servers sort of have this built-in problem in that they get more computationally dense every year. And in a sense, if you're doing the same work, you need less and less of them to do that. So they have to sort of work against that and hope for an elastic demand that will just pick that up. And in HPC, that certainly can occur, but in the overall market, not nearly as much. But it's not surprising to see storage still a bright spot, since, like you said, there's this data explosion that has been unsatisfied, and services certainly as well. Do you see 2010 as an area where you think cloud computing will gain a foothold, a reasonable foothold?
You know, cloud computing has been in such an inchoate state of development that it's tough to say yet exactly where it's coming on, except that there are certain industries in research, in pharmaceuticals in particular, that are very quickly picking up on the notion of private clouds. again, really reminds me of how people adopted grids. So I think you will see a substantial uptick in clouds, but a lot of them aren't going to be those outsourced external clouds. You'll see private clouds and then bleeding into hybrid clouds. Eventually, cloud computing really is just the next instantiation of distributed computing beyond grid. I don't see it becoming some panacea that dominates the market. I think it'll take the same kind of a role that grid computing took in the market, maybe a little bigger than grid overall eventually. So it's kind of a two-pronged answer. Yes, I do see it getting adopted, but it's not going to be that dominant force that some people have forecasted.
Right, I guess, you know, something like that, it's people's behavior has to change and people's sort of model of the way they do business. So that always seems like it slows down the adoption, whereas just buying a new, you know, type of server system or something, that's a lot quicker because it's basically just changing the kind of hardware you might be end up buying. So.
Right. Well, I mean, the good news is that the application's demand is there. People want to run these codes. There's a lot of gain that can be made from investing in high-performance computing, and more user types are realizing that. We're seeing continued expansion of HPC into non-traditional areas as more people gain access to these tools. I see the workstation class with a chance to come back, and that was a big enabler for people to step up into HPC. Once you say the applications are coming back or growing, then it's just a question of how are you going to run them, and cloud is one way that people can do that.
Well, you know, one thing I'm interested in, as you talk to people, and then do you factor in sort of the uncertainty of the economy? Because at the macroeconomic level, I hear business analysts and economists talking about a lot of uncertainty on what 2010 is going to look like, especially the second half of the year, because some people are actually predicting the economy could slip back into recession after the middle of the year, which would change a lot of people's industry forecasts. Do you guys factor that in? Or when you talk to people, do they reflect any sort of uncertainty that might reflect how much they're going to buy?
Yeah, we do reflect on that. And we annually ask people what kind of budgets they have. And once they have a budget, people like to try to spend it. Now, what happened in 2009 is a lot of those budgets got frozen or put on hold. And it's that uncertainty, Michael, that really causes people to put a hold on spending. Not that they don't have it in their budget, but they wait, and they wait longer, and they really make sure that this is something they want to buy before they buy it. And what's going to eventually heat up the market is when those sales cycles speed up again. You know, instead of taking 6 months to buy something, I take three. And that hasn't happened yet. I don't think it's ready to happen yet in the first quarter of 2010. It's not to say that there isn't any spending, but it's still that slow spending that was characteristic of 2009. And whether Intersect 360 Research brings that growth rate into the end of 2010 or early 2011 is going to have to do with our best assessment of those macroeconomic characteristics and consumer confidence over whether I feel confident spending this money because I feel like the economy is coming back and my business is secure.
Yeah, it's all somewhat, I guess, of a call because, yeah, it's hard to determine, you know, people's, you know, psychological state. I mean, sometimes I think, well, it's a new decade, 2010, people are going to sort of do a psychological reset and maybe start to think differently. I mean, obviously, you know, having a bad year like 2009, there's going to be a lot of pent-up demand for things that people wanted to do, but it's just a matter of, you know, the psychology of the way people are thinking. Are they going to take that risk if they're hearing a lot of bad news about other people's, you know, financial situations? Are they going to hold back and be uncertain and then, right, like freeze the cycle, like you said? So
there are still going to be some negative economic indicators, you know, in 2010. We're looking at new jobs data today. I think jobs is going to be one of the ones that's slower to come around because companies are trying to make sure that they're going to be profitable before they commit to hiring people. The companies want to see profits before they keep hiring again. And in Silicon Valley and in HPC, we've got more job loss coming around Oracle and Sun in all likelihood. Now, that's an analyst opinion. There's no comment on that. But Right. You have to imagine that that there's going to be some substantial fallout from that. And that's one negative economic indicator people are going to be looking at in the first half of 2010.
Although the lack of job recovery can also actually affect HPC procurement in another way, in that people look at HPC infrastructure sort of replacement for you know, human intelligence in certain cases, and they use that as a cheaper way to get work out of a
it's a way to do more with fewer people. Essentially, I'm going to make my people more productive by giving them modeling time. It's possible, although it's hard to link those because they're separate parts of the budget. You know, one is a capital expense and one is an operating expense. It is something that's an interesting point, though, and in our annual budget map surveys where we ask people how much they're spending not only on things like hardware and software, but also on staffing and facilities and services, that'll give us a good sense of whether that budget mix is changing by sector.
Right. And I think I've seen definitely for the long term forecast for jobs, at least in IT, is relatively good, especially compared to other sectors of the economy, that, you know, computer engineers and scientists have relatively good prospects over the next few years, maybe not necessarily in 2010 itself, but certainly looking out, the job market for IT people is fairly robust.
Right. Well, we'll certainly be looking at all of those conditions, continuing to survey users, sift through the data that we've got, and we'll be excited to put out a new forecast in the relatively near term to say here's our view of where we're going. Now, the 5-year forecast is ultimately positive. The market is recovering. It's just a question. All we're talking about here is when does that inflection point hit? When does it turn? How much growth do we get in 2010 over 2009? I think it's inevitable that we'll have at least some, do we want to stick with the 3% growth rate that we were looking at that was conservative from 2009 to 2010, or can we start popping that up into the 6-8% range with the idea that the sales cycles will rev up by the end of the year?
Well, even 3% sounds pretty fat these days. I think most people or most industries would envy something like that for this year, but it would be great to get twice that for sure. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I guess you'll be following that through the year, and so will I. And we didn't see a whole lot of news this week in HPC proper, but I'm sure we'll see that pick up as people return from extended holidays. And
right. I wanted to correct something I said earlier, Michael, and I was talking about the market being off 9 or 10% from 2008. That was our number for the server portion because of the robustness of storage in particular. Overall, the number isn't quite as bad. It should be, you know, 6 or 7%, but just wanted to get that correction in there.
Okay, yeah, that sounds reasonable, right? The server market, of course. Okay, well, once again, it was great talking with you, and it's good to be in the new year. It's actually good to get put 2009 behind us, I think, and I think a lot of people feel that way. And hopefully,
I'm telling you, Michael, we got a good chance to come back. We've got reasons to feel good.
Yeah, I think so. It's
it's just a question of how good we're going to feel and how soon we're going to feel it.
Yeah. Well, very good, Addison. It was a great show. Look forward to talking with you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, Michael.
It's a double episode. Don't miss the special second episode of HPC Wire Soundbite this week, as Michael and Addison are joined by HPC Wire publisher Tom Tabor to discuss the 2010 People to Watch Awards. Look for it on hpcwire.com, also available on iTunes.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.